Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Men, women, children, ghosts, everybody welcome aboard the Harden MVP train. But boy, do we got an interesting stop coming up tonight for that. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Jhené, it is finally time. When every breakup happens, we kind of assess the damage for a little while. Both sides go their separate ways. They start their new lives. But eventually, you're going to run into that person. Eventually, you're going to circle back, and that is going to happen tonight, Jhené. 7:30 Eastern on ESPN. James Harden and the Brooklyn Nets are rolling back into Houston. How are you feeling, first and foremost, about this homecoming for the former Rocket great?
I think that the relationship analogy is perfect, because what Houston natives are feeling, and it's not just when it comes to James Harden, it's probably also Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt. They're looking at their exes or soon-to-be ex and saying, man, you're living your best life. You've got it good. But at the core of it all, you appreciate even the relationship having had happened. You appreciate the mutual love that you guys had. And I think that's exactly what Houston's energy is on. You're speaking to a player that had to leave a team after 5 years that we built from the ground up and got booed when she returned and played for the Connecticut Sun every time I touched the ball. And I was told this on The Jump, Junior, sitting next to Scottie Pippen, who knows what it's like to become a villain at times, according to the league. And I was saying the same story. And he looked at me, he's like, Jhené, you know that's respect, right? Because if they're booing you, that means that they care. I think Houston, you might hear some boos, you know, because we have fans in the stands. But I honestly, I actually would think more often, you know, those are those fans that are probably like, oh, it's fun to boo because it's James Harden and he's not on our team. The reality is, Junior, I think he's going to get a lot of love. And we got a nice little taste from Tillman Fertitta, the owner, saying we're going to retire his jersey eventually. I think Houston's just grateful that we had witnessed one of the best shooting stars in the NBA for 9 years.
A lot of double entendre in that one there. And James Harden has become one of the best players. Houston helped transform James Harden's life. Full stop there, coming over from OKC and the life he had been living before that to what he became in Houston. So it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Because you're right, people should not go in there and boo. Generally, I am not in favor of like booing someone that's meant a ton to your city and giving a lot to the team like that. But because he has been so successful, and because the Rockets are not very good at basketball right now, and there's 4,500 people that are going to be in that crowd, they're going to boo the ever-loving hell out of him. Now, for what James Harden expects or hopes might happen in this situation, this is James Harden in a sit-down interview with our own ESPN NBA reporter Malika Andrews talking about that moment.
I hope I'm received with love. The love and the appreciation that I've given to that city, and I still give to that city, hoping that the favor can be returned.
That is Straight Talk Wireless, like, no contract, no compromise. And Jhené, I'm not feeling very good about James getting that love that he talked about.
You know, how much have we grown? I think there are a lot of sports fans that are going to be, oh, boo, just because that's what we're supposed to do in this moment. But for those athletes, I did the exact same thing when I was returning and people were, you know, writing articles in advance and I was doing interviews. I was like, you know, Connecticut has meant so much to me, and it still does. It's part of my work life. Just now in the ESPN capacity, no more in the WNBA. And I put out there, like, I hope I'd get love. Still got booed. Still to this day get booed. But again, I just, you know, say that if you're booing, that means you care. That means you left an impact. That means you, you know, made a mark. I am going to take the other side of the spectrum here, Junior. I think they're going to be a lot of cheers. I think they're going to celebrate him. But who knows? We might still be on our petty energy from 2020 to now 2021.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. That's the other side of this, is people have been cooped up in their homes for a long time. And if they're getting to taste a real live sporting again for the first time in a while. And Jhené, part of me can even understand in this one, because it's always going to be about the how in this situation. And it's just as much. Yes, James Harden appeared to almost put on a fat suit to try and work his way out of your city. He didn't want to be there so bad. But it's on the other side. If James Harden had gone to the Brooklyn Nets and we had gotten every bit of the traveling circus and every bit of the drama and discord between him and Kyrie Irving, and that team had not looked like the way it looks now, if they had been bad, he'd be, I would almost universally be behind the idea that he would get cheered. But in the immediacy right now, Chiné, with how quick this turnaround has been and how quick the success has followed him to Brooklyn, I just think that's going to sting too much. And from a human perspective, thinking about the fans and the humanity of that portion of it, in a city now that got used to for 8 years having really good top quality playoff basketball, deep runs, the winning percentage that's in, I think, the top five in that time span over the NBA, to now what they're watching, I feel like it's okay to feel some type of way about that, even if I don't think booing is necessarily the way to go.
Oh, it's absolutely okay to feel some type of way about James Harden, and it's okay if you want to boo. I'm just saying that it doesn't help booing when your team has lost 12 games straight. Like that, it's, you're not winning on any regard. You're probably better off just celebrating the fact that you had James Harden and he did great things, not only for Houston, but also for the community. You know, he's still, even as a Brooklyn Net, especially with the recent, you know, environmental factors that happened with the great freeze in Houston, he's still giving back to the community. And so this is a guy that I think people are now seeing in a different light. The league has been extremely, extremely critical of James Harden, even when he was successful, Junior. Like, a lot of people talked about those step back threes. Dribble, 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 step back. Oh, that's a travel. Oh, he's just, you know, getting to the rim and he's cheating the game by figuring out ways to foul and all that type of stuff and get to the foul line. Everyone had been extremely hypercritical of James Harden. And now we're starting to appreciate him because in the middle of switching teams, still leading the league in assists, putting up 30-point triple-doubles with no turnovers, pursuing what he wants, a championship. And yeah, he had some, acknowledging that he had great times and Houston made him who needs to be. Like, that's the energy that I'm on. Maybe I'm a little bit more zen to it, but I assume that this is probably not a lot of, it's going to be raw feelings for a lot of Houstonians these days. So I give them a pass for them booing or cheering because, man, it's tough to be a Houston sports fan.
Chiné, you know what? I think your perspective is one that's very informed from the athlete side of things, because you're right. Booing cannot help change anything in the outcome for the Houston Rockets right now. That presence, that effect's not going to change anything. But when you become washed like me and you're on the other side of playing, I have found out how quickly you can slip back into that mode because it's frustrating. I thought, Chiné, after going to Notre Dame, I grew up a Notre Dame fan. I love that school and I love that football team more than pretty much anything else. And I was a diehard fan. They could ruin my weekend at the drop of a hat growing up if that team lost a game. And then I got to college and I start playing in the games and you realize, all right, you got your 24 hours after and then you have to get ready for another team coming up the next week. And I went through with that perspective and I came out on the other side and I thought, you know what? I'm going to be able to be a better version of myself now that I'm a Notre Dame fan. I lived that experience. I understand what it's like to have control on the outcome. And then Notre Dame played Texas in the fall of 2016 in the first game of the season. And I watched in my hotel room as they lost in double overtime. And I won't give the name of the hotel or why I was there because I then hurled the remote control through the wall of the hotel room, shattering it in that moment in a fit of rage because I could do nothing in that spot. And that was when I realized, Chiné, that I was always going to be back out of control and in that fan mindset. And so when you are frustrated and you cannot affect the outcome, I hope they don't break anything, but at the very least, booing seems like a comparatively lesser offense.
Oh, so this is personal for you.
Yeah.
You're one of those. See, I'm not. I'm the type of person that when the game starts going the way I don't like it, I get up and walk out and just like go and pretend like something else is going on. But you're the type of person that hurls remotes. I know where you got that from, probably from your mother.
You know what? I don't even know if I can pin it on her, Chiné, because no one
she
else...
did. Isn't that what happened when you guys were watching the Notre Dame ACC Championship or something like that?
Oh,
and
no.
She threw it at you?
She didn't throw anything. Well, she just tossed it over to me, Chiné, and it happened to almost strike me in a very tender place in my life. I was the only one losing my composure there. That's why I'm like the only one in my family that's wired like a fan when it comes to this one thing.
So now you're saying that she just tossed it at you because I think when we read your Twitter, you were like, oh, she hurled it, but it's okay.
Yeah, you know what? It felt like there was intent there in the point in time. I thought she was trying to add to my misery in that spot, but my mom would never do that because she's a saint, and obviously that's not the case. But
absolutely. But, you know, anytime their game's on, and especially when it's Notre Dame, everything sort of goes out of the window, even remotes.
Everything does go out of the window, and that's why I say I can understand in this rare instance, because normally I'm 100% on the side of the athlete. And again, I still don't think in this instance booing is the right way to go about this. But I understand the feelings that might bring it out in Houston for this game. Now, Houston has shown a lot of love. We already heard from Tillman Fertitta, their owner, that the Rockets are going to be making moves by retiring James Harden's number.
Making moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Them thumbs slippery.
Nothing happened on this end. Don't mind the man behind the curtain. Coming up next, though, as we talk about the Rockets getting ready to square off against the Nets tonight, it is ignoring a matchup of the two top-ranked teams in the East and the West in the NBA right now. And in that spirit, coming up next, we are going to try, we are going to effort to not ask what's wrong with the Lakers, but rather ask what's right about the Phoenix Suns. We'll see how it goes next here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Getting pressure on the home front. Tom Brady, late night Tom Brady, out here telling some great stories, relatable Tom Brady, but also reminding us who runs the show in the Brady household. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Gwumuke. It's a lot like here, quite honestly. Anytime I feel like acting up, I am quickly reminded who actually runs the show here.
Stop it. We're 50-50. We're a team.
We are a team. That being said, we are a team where I am routinely compared to, I'd say, pretty much any white talk show host, white rapper, and it came back to bite me today, Janae, because I was sitting around online, and I looked up, and NPR does those wonderful tiny concerts, and who else but Jack Harlow? Jack Harlow, who has been the comparison that Janae made for me, if we were to exchange our athletic ability for any amount of musical talent, she said that would be my comp, and Janae, I'm not going to lie, I watched some of it. I am absolutely flattered by that comp. It was wonderful.
That was the second comp. The first one was James Corden. But yes, Jack Harlow, you are the equivalent of him in the industry.
You know what? And James Corden, we will hear from a conversation involving James Corden and Tom Brady in about 10 minutes here. But Janae, before
look at you working overtime.
Listen, I'm trying to find a way, just trying to put food on the table for everyone around here. All of my other, you know, melanin challenged children around here. But in the meantime, Janae, we got to get to what happened last night. So this is interesting. First off, watching the Lakers and the Suns last night, the Lakers get dropped. They're in a little bit of a tough patch right now, losing six of their last nine games. But the Suns and Devin Booker, I almost said, but it really was the Devin Booker-less Suns after an ejection that took place with about 7 minutes left in the third quarter. We saw the interaction between him and the referees there. Janae, first off, fair or foul? Because I had to rewind my screen about four times to try and figure out what the hell happened there and how it warranted taking one of the biggest stars in the game off the court.
Fair, because we are told when you bounce the ball at the referee with aggression, this is exactly what happens. We've seen people like bump braze referees and they get ejected. So this is just consistent with the referees trying to make sure you treat them with respect. But honestly, like, I think it's kind of foul, because if Devin Booker is feeling some type of way, which this guy already was a snub, but now is another replacement for the All-Star game for the second year in a row, trying to fight for respect in this league. If he's feeling some type of way, if I'm a referee, before you like know you're going to go viral because he bounced the ball at you, I'd probably have a conversation, say like, excuse me, Devin. And if he gave the immediate, I'm sorry, it's like, all right, next time you do that, I'm going to, you know, give you another technical. I wish we had those quick human moments, but I guess it just shows you that there are no favorites. If you handle the referee like that, you're going to get teed up. And that was the second time, you know, he had two technicals and was ejected, as you mentioned, right at the, like, 7 minutes midway through the third quarter.
Yeah, ejected almost immediately. Two technicals assessed very quickly, and it got it chippy. There was already a technical assessed, I think, on the possession before that on the other end of the court. So it was going that direction. But you mentioned there are no special treatments, unless usually for the stars in this league, because there's an understanding among most people that when you turn on these games, I want to see Devin Booker-led Phoenix going up against LeBron James-led Los Angeles and what we got there. But what we got is still a net win for the Suns, because even without him, they went out there. Chris Paul wasn't even balling like that in the second half, and they still managed to drop the Lakers. And now they move to second in the West, Janae. So it's an interesting spot we're in now, because I'm going to ask you how much I can really buy into the Suns going through the remainder of the season. But there's also another specter looming here that I want to get to. So first off, legitimacy of the Suns as a team that we think can actually go from the regular season and take this to the postseason.
They will make it into the playoffs. They will be in the postseason. And I remember when Chris Paul joined the Phoenix Suns, everyone was like, oh my gosh, they're going to be a contender to make it out of the West for the NBA Finals. I was like, slow your roll. Slow your roll. I think they're going to get into the playoffs. And they've sort of overshot those expectations, because with that win, they've now crept up to number two in the West. But I will say this, Junior. Who would have thunk? Who would have thought Chris Paul makes one field goal yesterday? Devin Booker gets ejected in the third quarter, early in the third quarter. LeBron James drops 38 points, and the Phoenix Suns win the game. It's a new day. It's a new era for them. They are figuring out different ways to win, and that's the shift in mindset when Chris Paul walks in. He's a floor general, and now you know every time you step on the floor, you have that expectation, no matter who's out there, even when Chris Paul's not shooting it well, even when Devin Booker is not out there. So this Phoenix Suns team is legit. They can contend. I'm not going to say that they're going to be coming, you know, the people coming out of the West, but they will be in the playoffs.
Janae, this is the fascinating part of all this, and the kind of the psychology of being a fan of one of these smaller market teams, because what you just described, I'm with you. That was kind of the conversation around Harden in Houston, is you are what you allow to happen when you've got leaders on the team. And Chris Paul runs a tight ship. We've heard that historically from him, and it's translating with these young players learning in that way. But how do you keep them here? I was so fascinated. I had a conversation with Katie Nolan earlier, who talked about her boyfriend being a Nuggets fan. And he said his worry anytime the Nuggets get brought up in conversation is, we're going to talk, we're going to get too good, and then our star players are going to leave for a bigger franchise and a bigger market. And so when I'm listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning, and I hear Jay Williams, our ESPN NBA analyst, bring up that, all right, Devin Booker's a guy that could potentially end up with the Knicks, I feel like that's always the fear right now, Chiney, especially as we see the Knicks trying to build their culture, kind of trying to replicate that Brooklyn model, is for a team like Phoenix, how long can I bank on being able to keep this guy here when other options start to present themselves down the road if we get too good?
This is very similar to a Giannis situation, in that the team's success will be the audition for Devin Booker to stay put. Meaning, the more successful they are, the higher they are in the Western standings, you know, finally getting over the threshold and making it into the playoffs, that'll make him more inclined to say, you know what, I've been with this franchise for a while, we haven't won, now we've done it, and now let's build on it. That's the best way that you keep Devin Booker there. I do think there are other forces where, all right, Chris Paul comes on the team, and he's getting more credit than me. Where do I get my shine? Where do I get my respect? He wants respect from the refs. That's what's making him a little, confrontational with them. He wants respect from the league. He's a snub again that has to be a replacement player. Maybe it's under the bright lights of New York City where I know I'm going to walk out there, give the fans a show, light it up, give you 30 points per game. So I think the best thing that the Phoenix Suns can do is literally win right now, and prove to Devin Booker that he is the piece, he is the valued one alongside Chris Paul.
He is the one alongside Chris Paul, only for a while, until he gets ejected again for some weird ticky-tack foul.
Wait, we did it. We didn't talk about the Lakers.
Well, look at that. You know what? There we go. Phoenix, you know what? The folks in Phoenix right now.
Y'all better figure it out, LA. Come on now.
I was going to say, honestly, get it together. It's ridiculous. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Coming up next, though, we have to ask the question that's on everybody's mind, and I'm sure especially everyone in New England. What more does Tom Brady actually have to prove? We'll tell you the unlikely source that actually posed that question next, after this word from Body Armor.
All right, it's Chiney the Stallion here with Magic Mike, but he's taking a break for a second, so I will tell you about Body Armor Lite. Helps you achieve your fitness goals this year. Body Armor Lite is the low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. It has no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Now, athletes like myself, Mike Trout, Sabrina Ionescu, and Dustin Johnson use Body Armor Lite. They use it to stay hydrated, so why not give it a try? No, really, why not give it a try? From now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product and earn $10 in fitness cash to select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. Like Junior said, Magic Mike, what more does Tom Brady really have to prove? No, really, that's not us asking really the question. It's the icon, Giselle. That's right after this on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live. Come look at us and watch us on ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'm genuinely curious. I'm almost a little afraid to ask because we're getting towards the night of hard feelings here. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake, the night of hardened feelings, I should say. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. I'm genuinely curious. And if you're folks around Houston, like Janae Agumake, Houston's very own, or just in general, what you'd sum up the legacy of James Harden right now in Houston?
I've been waiting for this. 281-713-832s. I better see you on our hotline calling in.
I was very scared because those were a lot of numbers together that was your number and we were going to have a very uncomfortable
conversation. No, I'm not you. You started last time. Was it yesterday that you were actually going to give? You were like 860.
We got very close on that one. So no, stick with those area codes, but hit us at 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Houston fans, are you happy for James Harden? And if not, what are your thoughts on him now? What's the legacy of James Harden as he gets set to return to Houston tonight? But, certainly we want to echo some thoughts and prayers I heard in the Sports Center update there, and it's been talked about a lot today in the world of Major League Baseball, and a guy certainly well-known around here at ESPN, our former colleague and now New York Yankees manager Aaron Boone, taking an immediate medical leave of absence to have surgery to get a pacemaker. The team announced today. Aaron Boone's 47 years old, had open heart surgery back in 2009, and so when he started to notice some symptoms, they decided to make the move and go do this. He said in a statement released by the team, "My faith is strong and my spirits are high. I'm in a great frame of mind because I know I'm in good hands with the doctors and medical staff here." And so, Chinay, certainly just a situation we're glad he recognized, was able to get the proper care for now as someone who has dealt with instances like this already in the past.
Yeah, and we just have to continue as a collective to keep taking care of one another, especially during these times. We're talking a lot about James Harden, his return to Texas today. Texas made some news. So I just think it's another reminder that, you know, everyone has to take care of one another as we can. Because in another statement, it was said that he had mild symptoms of lightheadedness, low energy, and shortness of breath over the past 6 to 8 weeks. And that's why it's important to always stay, if you're able to, you know, able to connect with your doctors and check up when you feel, you know, you're not feeling like yourself. If you're able to see your doctor and a health professional, I think it's very important. So again, another reminder for a bigger picture when it comes to the world outside of sports.
Absolutely. So hoping for the best and a speedy recovery for Yankees manager Aaron Boone, getting that pacemaker put in. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're brought to you by Goodyear, celebrating March Deal Days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for more offers. Now, Janae, we always talked about, you know, our being a work relationship here, having each other's backs in these spots, celebrating each other's accomplishments, but also the accountability that happens in these moments. And that's where this gets interesting. Tom Brady's fresh off winning Super Bowl number 7. Tom Brady has never been more liked, I think more relatable to people outside of New England finally after flying the coop on that. But Tom Brady still answers to someone else. No, it's not Bill Belichick, and no, it's not Bruce Arians at this point. Tom Brady went on the Late Late Show with James Corden the other night and talked about a very interesting conversation he had after the Super Bowl.
All of a sudden, I see my oldest son run over to me, "Dad," you know, and I gave him a big hug. I saw my, you know, my two little ones, and all of a sudden, I saw my wife, and I gave her a big hug, and just as I did it, she says, "What more do you have to prove?"
And what did you say in that moment? What did you say?
I just gave her a big hug. I was trying to figure out a way to change the subject really quick. Right. So I was, I think I moved on to something else pretty quickly.
Good luck changing that post-Super Bowl. But, Janae, this is always interesting because Giselle has been very public about her desire for Tom to retire for a while now. And this popping up again seems funny here, but we remember these are very real forces at play.
I think it's hard when you are at the top of your game, just won a championship, just won a Super Bowl, to say, all right, like, let's just stop. Because normally, I mean, some people say, oh, you want to leave when you're on top. Well, for him, being on top has been over a decade of dominance when it comes to the National Football League. So that exit is going to be when he so sees fit. And I think it's funny because we saw, you know, when they were doing the trophy presentation, and he was quick to say, oh, we're running this thing back. then the conversation happened with his wife, which, well, she'll bring up the big questions. But so I can understand the competitor of Tom Brady just being so immersed. And I do think it would have to be his wife that probably extricates himself out of that situation. I don't know anybody else that thinks that has more, you know, weight to stop him.
No, but Giselle, I mean, we've heard stories of her going to teammates, trying to talk to them, to talk to Tom about this, because she's seen, Tom's even mentioned during this year, dialing back on some of his outside pursuits to spend more time with his family. But you know this, Chinna, I mean, you're currently still going through this right now where you're working with us here, you're getting ready to go back and play basketball with the Sparks. And when people ask questions like, what more do you have to prove? I always remind people, and this is a mindset that you live every day, that it's not about often proving something. It's about the way you're wired to compete at these levels, especially, like you said, when he's now having fun again, maybe for the first time in a little while, when the situation changes for him, and now he's in a place where he feels like he's his whole self at this point in time. That, coupled with the normal wiring of a guy like that, of an athlete at that level, is a hard thing to knock off that rail.
And this is really ironic because my sister right now, Neko Gwemeke, is currently going through her LA Sparks presser as she just re-signed with the Sparks. Let's go.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a lot of people probably haven't watched as much WNBA as I've been a part of. And people see me on TV and they're like, oh, you know, you're still, you know, are you still playing? Did you retire? And I'm like, no, I'm still hooping. It just shows you the lack of visibility. But Neko just said in her press conference, because I'm getting tweets, live tweets, you know, I just want to help Chinna have fun. When she enjoys the game, that's when she's at her best. I hope we can run it back from her Stanford women's basketball days when we both tag team and had so much fun at Stanford. Hey, let's go. Cliff's getting hyped, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But I say all of that to say the reason why I go back and I'm not, you know, anywhere near the success level of Tom Brady is because of the fun that I have and the competitive desire and just that feeling that I'm so used to having since I've played for 18 years now. Can you imagine? I played for 18 years and I'm 28 years old. So it's just a part of who Tom Brady is at this point. And it seems like he continually has unfinished business because he handles his business 24/7. So he's able to dominate in a way that none of us have ever really seen.
Well, and listen, Tom Brady, I mean, we talk about him, you know, having unparalleled success, but there is a lot of parallels in the amount that you're doing, the amount of things outside of basketball you're doing. But, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, because this is the number one thing I always tell people. Coming to work at a place like ESPN, working in sports media, you get to be on a great team. We've got great teammates around here. It's challenging. We're around sports still. And I promise you, none of it touches the high of actually playing. There is nothing. When you leave, and I ask guys this all the time, that you can find that replicates what you get in pursuit of what you're doing as a team in sports. Am I off base on that?
No, you're right. Because no matter how much fun we have here, I'm not going to be like, we hit a hard out. Yeah, yep. Chest bump, high five. Just like looking at, you know what I mean? That's just, it's a different energy. It's just unleashing a lot of our competitive spirit. And so I agree, you're right.
Well, and it's one of those things that once you decide you're done with that, you're done with that. Tom Brady knows that as well as anyone right now. As he stares down, advanced age, getting into his mid-40s, talking about still playing ball, recognizing that whenever he is done, it is done for good. And that's a different-looking abyss that people have to stare into and don't quite realize until they get to that spot. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. James Harden not staring into the abyss, but staring into a crowd of 4,500 potentially angry Houstonians. Would you boo if you were in that crowd? What are the thoughts and feelings of Houston Rockets fans about James Harden now that they've seen him go ahead and do really well with his new boo? We'll get to that after this word from Omaha Steaks. Because, guys, when it comes to flavor, tenderness, and value, and those are the three rocks I want to build my church on, no one is coming close to Omaha Steaks. Right now, try the Butcher's Best Sellers Grill Pack. It includes 4 of their iconic filet mignons, 4 ultra-juicy burgers, 4 savory pork chops, which people sleep on. Pork chops, unbelievable. You're going to get desserts and more. Right now, and if you enter Golic in the search bar, you're not only going to get a special price, you're also going to get 4 more chicken breasts and 4 more of those delicious burgers for free. The name Golic literally gets you free meat on this website. That is an amazing time to be alive. Go to omahasteaks.com, go to the search bar, and type the keyword Golic in, G-O-L-I-C, and order the Butcher's Bestseller Pack today. Don't forget, you're going to get 4 free chicken breasts and 4 free burgers, all by just typing Golic into a search bar. It's that easy. omahasteaks.com, keyword Golic. Harden, back in Houston. Boo Bird's out? We'll find out next. Chinna and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Excited to head down to Houston in just a little bit here. Take the temperature because I'm genuinely curious. Jenny Dial Creech going to join us here.
Yes.
Covers Houston for The Athletic. Runs that whole operation, and Janae's just excited to get more H-Town in the building as you guys get ready to absorb this pain.
She will tell you in a few minutes, absorb this pain, you're funny. She will tell you in a few minutes where our connection started. Y'all, she has known me before most people have. Like, you know, it's just wild. So just look forward to that.
There we go. All right, so we got that coming up in about 10 minutes here, but we did ask people, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, how they're feeling right now heading into James Harden's return with the Brooklyn Nets, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN tonight, playing against the Houston Rockets. What's the legacy of James Harden look like, according to people in Houston, especially now that they've seen him
H-Town.
Go and have this success with the Nets? Let's head to Ryan in Texas. Ryan, you're on the show. What are your thoughts on Harden heading back into the matchup tonight?
Ryan, where in Texas are you from?
I'm in Abilene, right in the middle, the 325, not 281 or 713, but right in the middle.
I got you.
And
what's up?
Being in the middle, well, I'm thinking it's very similar. I would approach it how Dallas should, if Dez Bryant ever got back in, was able to play in that Ravens game. 8 years, not a decent production, but nothing great, and then becomes a problem as a teammate and all that stuff. And then the same thing with Harden. Wants to get out, talks kind of bad about teammates, and I would approach it the same way. Very disappointed, wouldn't retire his jersey, and probably would be booing. And so I wonder how you and Golic compare Dez and Harden.
Well, I think it's difficult in this, Cheney, to compare the two, just because Dez was a super, and I dispute a little bit the idea of the productivity there for either one of them. Dez was a super productive player for Dallas, for the Cowboys, but it's just so different versus a guy who won the MVP while he was in Houston, was the three-time scoring champ while he was in Houston. And so all of those things, James Harden just accomplished on such a different level that I think his overall, I don't think Dez would have gotten booed at all in that spot just because his role in the winning or losing was always going to be a lot less than what Harden put in.
And when you compare those two, it's interesting because when you think about franchise overall, the Cowboys, a lot of glitz and glamour there, right? But the Rockets, not necessarily as much. But you flip the big superstar aspect of the NBA player being able to control their narrative and control the game. And so, yeah, I can see how, you know, you'd be a little salty towards Dez, and then you'd also be salty towards James Harden. So maybe you're right. Maybe people will actually boo him tonight.
Well, like I say, it's interesting to hear that perspective because there was also, and that's the part we forget about, because we all kind of laughed and ha-ha at the supposed weight gain and showing up and not really looking engaged. But a lot of people also took to heart the things that he said about the team not being in that place. Even John Wall seemed a little publicly miffed when that got brought up in the press conferences. And so that'll be interesting. I have a feeling the teammates will have a lot easier time forgiving and having moving on. Although maybe I'm mistaken there, because they're also hyper-competitive in that spot. I'm not sure, Chiney, for you, what was it like? I mean, you talk about the fan reception when you went back and played, obviously spent your time, was drafted number one overall in Connecticut. But going back there, your former teammates, what was that reception like?
They understood, because when I was making that shift, they all knew what I was doing. They knew I was waking up at 3 a.m. to go and talk to some guy by the name of Mike Golic Jr. I'm first and last. They knew exactly what I was doing. They knew my grind. So when I said, hey guys, I need more balance in my life. I need to be able to have better work, life, family balance. See my sister, who I had not really seen since she graduated Stanford. They're like, girl, we understand. And so I'm fortunate on that regard, but it was hard for me to be in that space where my teammates understood. And then the fans probably just thought I was quitting on a team that was so close to reaching the pinnacle of success. And the difference here is James Harden, his teammates aren't really on the team anymore. Maybe like a few role players, Eric Gordon or so. Like, that's a new look Rockets team. So if you're going to think that, oh, there's motivation for this team to really just try to say, we don't need you, all that type of stuff. Nah, these Rockets, they need help right now. So I think that's why they're trying to celebrate and put the narrative out there that we appreciate you. Even putting his, you know, jersey in the rafters eventually.
Yeah, Tillman Fertitta, their owner, announcing they're going to retire his jersey. But now I just love the visual of James Harden coming out and, you know, social distance dapping up all the Rockets guys. Like you said, mostly new phages, but then PJ Tucker just over there glaring at him right now. Like, you left me here with this. And now there's talk and conversation that maybe PJ Tucker gets moved too, but.
No, that's what I was going to say. Like, you know, old boy's probably going to end up following him somewhere.
No, you know what it's going to be? They're going to put the jersey up over the mouth and say, man, you got to get me out of here.
Help.
It's crazy around here.
Help. Get me out. Free me.
I can bring a lot of sneakers to the table. Trust me. I got you locked up on this one.
I got you. What you want, bro?
Coming up next, though, I want to tap back into what we heard on the phone there. What is the reception going to look like with 4,500 fans in the building tonight for James Harden?
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.